Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, June 23, 2024, Romans.
Many of you remember the Kaisers. They were in the church here for many, many years. John and Brenda. John was affectionately known as Billy. And Billy was called home to be with the Lord on Tuesday the 18th. And I would encourage you to pray for John, or well, John's in heaven. Pray for Brenda and Wes, their son, and the family. Billy was special. And both Brenda, I think she typed up every class I did here and put out down all the doctrines and gave them to the people who were interested in doctrine. And she was fantastic. And with Uncle Rick and Auntie Jean Penko, we would take the Kaisers and go on fishing trips. And I told Billy, I said, okay, we're going to go out and get in the boat. And he says, no, I don't get in those boats and get out there. What's the matter? I can't swim. Well, that's a good idea, then, not to get in the boat. I said, well, how about your wife? And Brenda goes, yeah, I want to go. Auntie Jean says, yeah, I want to go. So we went out, and those two gals caught trophy fish, pictures of them, and fantastic. And came back, and I said, see what you missed out on? Yeah, but I'm still here. Well, now he isn't here. Now he's in heaven. He was a... from Arkansas, they went back to their home in Arkansas, and Brenda still gets the classes all the time. And he loved certain things, biscuits and gravy. My mother from the Ozarks, and she makes great biscuits and gravy, and Billy loved biscuits and gravy. And also remind you, next week, Monday through Friday, Vacation Bible School. And we have a meeting of everyone involved in Vacation Bible School after the second class today. But Monday through Friday, Vacation Bible School. And I encourage you to pray for the VBS team, that they'll be channels of God's grace, tools in God's hand to be used by Him, that the grace gospel will be given clearly and accurately, and also basic doctrine, that God would bring by His hand of grace all the children that are and parents that are supposed to be here and prepare their hearts. It looks like it's going to be very, very well-attended Vacation Bible School this next week. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 7. Let's start at verse 14, which sounds like this. Certainly, we know that the Mosaic law is spiritual. But I am carnal when I have been sold back into slavery under the rule of the sin nature. At salvation, at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, you have divorced yourself from your first husband. The first husband is from physical birth to salvation. The first husband is the old sin nature. And you're divorced from the sin nature at salvation, faith in Christ, through the baptism of the Spirit. Retroactive positional truth, you are identified with Christ in his death and burial. As a believer, through faith in Christ, you are married now to a new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is current positional truth. You're identified with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, and you are in union with Jesus Christ. But the carnal, reversionistic believer hasn't changed his ways. As an unbeliever, you were making bad decisions, and now, as a believer, you're still making bad decisions. Even though you have an infinitely greater husband in the Lord Jesus Christ, yet by your own bad decisions, you place yourself back under the rule and authority of the sin nature. You place yourself out of fellowship with God. And now you're living the carnal, reversionistic life in Satan's cosmic system. In the new marriage we have from salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ, the husband is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is perfect God. Our marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit, and he is perfect God. So the only culprit in the second marriage is the wife, that is, the believer, the carnal, reversionistic believer. Now, I think all of you realize that we are not perfect. Is there anybody here that's perfect? Stand up. We want to see what a goofball you are. I think you all realize that we are not perfect. Man is not perfect. And I think you realize that there's no such thing as a perfect believer. And I think you realize that we are not God, although there are many believers that think they're smarter than God. In the first marriage, we have two culprits, the sin nature, who is the husband, and the unbeliever, the wife. But in the second marriage, there is only one culprit, And that is the believer who makes bad decisions to place himself back under the authority and rule of the sin nature. And therefore, there is a conflict inside of the believer between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit, who is the marriage counselor of the second marriage. And that is summarized in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Now I want you to turn over there to Galatians 5, 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul wrote Galatians and the Apostle Paul wrote Romans. He wrote Romans before he wrote Galatians. What we have in Galatians 5, 16 and 17 is the conclusion of what Paul taught in great detail in Romans chapter 7, what we're studying, verses 15 to 25. What Paul is teaching in Romans 7, 15 to 25, he summarizes and gives the conclusion in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. But he defines it inside and out in Romans 7, 15 to 25. And by the time he wrote Galatians, he gives the conclusion. So Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So I say, walk by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. That is, live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, through the filling of the Spirit. And you will not gratify the lusts of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. Now this is the conclusion. It's what he concludes here in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, he taught in Romans 7, 15 to 25 in great, great detail, amplifying it. So we're seeing the amplification and the defining of it in the rest of Romans chapter 7. And we've already taught Galatians. I'll teach it again in heaven, so see you there, and I'll teach it again. Therefore, there is a conflict inside of every believer between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. The believer, the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ, returns to the first husband, the old sin nature, by sinning and getting out of fellowship with God and living. As soon as you sin, you not only put yourself, your soul, under the control of the sin nature, you also put yourself in Satan's cosmic system. The only weakness in the second marriage, then, is the believer. Not the Lord Jesus Christ, the second husband. He is God and perfect God. Not the Holy Spirit, the marriage counselor of the second marriage. He is God and perfect God. So Romans 7 verse 14 emphasizes the fact that there is an inner conflict. As long as we live in this life, we all have this inner conflict. There is a war going on inside of you between your ex-husband, the sin nature, and the marriage counselor of the second marriage, God the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, 16 and 17, which is amplified in our passage, Romans 7, 15 to 25. We all have this war going on inside of us. Everyone still has the sin nature in his body, with its lust patterns. Everyone has problems. Everyone has weaknesses. Everyone has failures. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all failed, made bad decisions, arrogant decisions, self-centered decisions. The Apostle Paul, the greatest believer of all time, he failed and got into reversionism. There is failure on the part of all of us. The sin nature with its lust patterns is the tempter. But when we make bad decisions and say yes to those temptations, then we are the culprit. So there is only one culprit in the second marriage, and that is the wife, the believer, living the carnal reversionistic life. So again, verse 14 says, certainly, we know that the Mosaic law is spiritual, but I am carnal when I have been sold back into slavery under the rule, the authority of the sin nature. Now, Romans 7, 15 to 25, we have the attacks of the ex-husband, the sin nature, and the great war going on inside of each one of us that results. So in Romans 7, 15 to 25, this is what Paul concludes in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. For the first attack we have in Romans 7, 15 to 17. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. We exegeted that. It sounds like this. For what is working out of me, that is what I am producing, sin, human good, and evil, I do not understand. For what I desire and wish and want to do, these things I am not practicing or accomplishing. But what I hate, what I detest, these things I keep on doing. Paul is presenting the experience of the believer out of fellowship with God, the carnal reversionistic believer. And Paul is using himself as an example in order to communicate this very important principle of doctrine. Carnality and reversionism is a state of not understanding. It's a state of confusion. It's a state of disorientation from the grace plan of God. The carnal reversionistic believer can't understand why he is not receiving these fantastic greater grace blessings that have been promised to the winner believer. The carnal reversionistic believer is not fulfilling the purpose for which he remains in this life. And he is confused. The carnal reversionistic believer cannot comprehend why he is not advancing, growing up, and reaching spiritual maturity. Why he's not fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Why he doesn't have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Why he doesn't have personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, and impersonal love for all. The carnal reversionistic believer is not fulfilling the purpose of the second marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not living in newness of life. Romans 6, verse 4. He's not living in newness of life. He's not living the unique spiritual life that God has for us in the church age. The wife, the carnal reversionistic believer, desires and wants to please the Lord Jesus Christ, her husband. But all these good intentions, and that's all, they're good intentions, they're all neutralized by the first husband. The sin nature and the temptations of the lust patterns. However, the ex-husband, the sin nature, can do nothing apart from your free will, apart from your volition. The carnal reversionistic believer finds the ex-husband, the sin nature, with its lust patterns, more attractive than Jesus Christ. And at this point, the only hope that you have to start with rebound, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restoring us to fellowship with God, restoring us to the filling of the Spirit, restoring us to our spiritual life. And then you need to make the good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. But that means fulfilling the mandates that God has given us. Keep on being filled and empowered by the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So verse 15 again says, for what is working out of me, what I am producing, the sin, human good and evil, I do not understand. For what I desire, wish and want to do, these things I am not practicing and accomplishing. But what I hate, what I detest, these things I keep on doing. One. If I didn't say one, some of you would just fall asleep on me. Say, one. In Romans 7:15, we have the conflict between the two husbands, the Lord Jesus Christ and the sin nature. The conflict between the two husbands, the ex-husband, the sin nature, and the new husband of the believer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, when you are not doing what you want to do, but you keep on doing the things that you hate and detest, this is an obvious warning. Warning. Three, you're not living the spiritual life. Rather, you're living the carnal reversionistic life. So when you're not doing what you want to do, but you keep on doing the things that you hate and detest, that is a warning to you as a believer. You're not living the spiritual life. Rather, you're living out of fellowship with God, the carnal reversionistic life. Four, you have to stop putting yourself under the authority and orders of the sin nature. And you do that all by yourself. It's not Pastor Olson's fault. It's not anybody else's fault. Not your mother's fault. This is something you do all by yourself. You have to stop putting yourself under orders, under authority to the ex-husband, the sin nature, and place yourself under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, your new husband. and execute His mandates. The Word of God is the mind of Christ, and He's given us these mandates to live the spiritual life. You need to put yourself under the orders and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and obey His mandates. 5. There is no way that you as a believer can break out of this dilemma apart from rebound, 1 John 1:9. You have to get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit in your spiritual life, and then reversion recovery. And reversion recovery means a lot of decisions after you rebound, a lot of good decisions. A good decision is to find a sound doctrinal teaching church. A good decision is to get your patootie in there and sit down and learn the Word of God consistently and faithfully and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. It takes decisions and decisions and decisions. You see, you don't get into the final stages of reversionism on one decision. You make bad decisions again and again and again and again. You're living in the Satan's cosmic system. You're living in interlocking systems of arrogance. You're living in interlocking systems of hatred. You're going from warning discipline. God doesn't want you to live as a loser in the carnal, in the cosmic system. He wants you to be a winner. He's given you everything to be a winner. And so when you are living in Satan's cosmic system, God's going to spank you. Why? Because He loves you. That's why. He sees you heading toward the cliff and you're going to fall off. He doesn't want you to go off the cliff. He doesn't want you to crash and burn. So He spanks you. And it starts with warning discipline. And if you don't learn from there, He gives you intensive discipline. And if you don't learn from there, then you come to the point of dying discipline. Now, you can even recover when you get to dying discipline, and we have examples of that in the Scriptures. But if you don't learn then, why, you'll be in heaven. You don't lose your salvation. That's impossible. But God doesn't want you to crash and burn. He doesn't want you to go off the cliff and crash and burn. He wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He wants to pour out the most phenomenal greater grace blessings on you in time and forever, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, crowns and rewards awarded to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ, which will glorify God forever and ever and ever. And that's what God wants for you. That's what Jesus Christ wants for you. And He is your new husband. He's your authority. And He's given these mandates. Put yourself under His authority and execute those mandates. So point 6. We must live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number 1, the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number 2, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. We need to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Personal love for God the Father, personal love for Jesus Christ, the great motivating virtues that motivate impersonal love for all. 7, only the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in the heart can break the power and influence of this sin nature. The old husband, the ex-husband in our life. Only the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in the heart can break the power and influence of the sin nature. 8, the ex-husband, the sin nature, desperately continues his activity inside of every believer. He's there in your body, and that's why we have the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. And there's a war going on between the sin nature and the spirit, and the conclusion of what Paul is teaching in great detail, Romans 7:15-25, he concludes in Galatians 5:16-17. Remember, he taught Romans before he taught and wrote Galatians. Galatians, we have the conclusion. The ex-husband, the sin nature, desperately continues his activity inside of every believer. What is he trying to do? He's trying to get control of your soul. And he can't do it unless you let him. You have a guardian in your soul. The guardian of your soul is your volition, your free will. That's the guardian. You're going to get temptations. What is the sin nature? Made up of lust patterns, lust patterns, lust patterns. And so you're going to get temptations, all different kinds. Lust related to sin, lust related to human good, lust related to evil. You're going to have temptation, temptation, temptation. All you have to do is say no. You have a guardian, a free will. All you have to do is say no. But when you say yes to that temptation, then the sin nature takes control of your soul. Now the sin nature controls your soul. Oh, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, but you are now out of fellowship with God, and you let the old sin nature take control of your soul. There's a battleground, and the battleground is the soul of the believer. Who is going to control your soul? Is it going to be the sin nature, or is it going to be God the Holy Spirit? You have a volition. You have a free will. Now, some of you, you say, well, I have no problem. When those temptations come, and sin, I'm not going to go that way. No, you'll go with the human good and evil. Not even realizing that that's the sin nature too. You get into human good and evil and say yes, and the sin nature takes control. So the ex-husband, the sin nature, desperately continues his activity inside every believer. Temptation, attack. Temptation, attack. Temptation, attack. 9. But the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to provide for you the most fantastic blessings. The most fantastic blessings as a result of attaining spiritual maturity, virtue, love, by living the spiritual life. Now, verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, thundering diction of the King James. By the way, this is King James, it gets so bad here. There are verses in the King James that aren't even in the Bible. Not even in the Bible. But the Pope wanted Roman Catholic doctrine in there. And he wanted something this put in. So they did. It's not even a verse, not even in any of the original autographs. But the Pope wanted Roman Catholic doctrine. Now, some of you have a Roman Catholic background. Auntie Jean had a Roman Catholic background. She realized that was totally hooey, fooey, gooey. And she believed in Jesus Christ, faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Will there be any Catholics in heaven? A few. Will there be Catholics in hell? Yeah, lots. The issue is, salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And there are those who in Roman Catholicism who have believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Those few will be in heaven. But any, and there's lots of them that add works to that. Add works like you got to be baptized. That's asinine. That's a work. You think you're going to be in heaven because of your work? No one will be in heaven by your works. Every time you add one work to faith in Christ, that's a false gospel. False gospel. And no one can be in heaven when you add one work to faith in Jesus Christ. So, verse 16. If then I do that which I would not. This is the post-positive conjunction de plus the conditional particle ae plus the present active indicative of poieo plus the accusative singular neuter of the near demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative of thelo with the objective negative ou. The post-positive conjunction, de, now de, many times it's a conjunction of contrast, but it isn't here. Here it's a transitional de, and it may be translated and, moreover, then, now, and we'll translate it now. And then the conditional particle ae, A plus the indicative. A plus the indicative introduces a first class condition. If I do what I do not want to do, first class condition, and that's exactly what I'm doing. See how that, isn't it great when you study it from the languages? If I do what I don't want to do, first class condition, and that's exactly what I'm doing. Poieo, the verb to do. Present tense has linear action start. Now if I keep on doing, linear action start. Active voice, the believer who succumbs to the temptations of the ex-husband, the sin nature with its lust pattern, performs the actions of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. Seen from the viewpoint of reality, certainty, fact. And then the near demonstrative pronoun houtos. H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And houtos is this thing, this very thing. And then what they do in Texas. Thelo. Thelo. To desire, to wish, to want. But we have with it the objective negative. Ooh. Looks like that in the Greek and in English. The objective negative. Ooh. This thing. Which I absolutely do not desire or want to do. This thing which I absolutely do not desire or want to do. Present tense is a customary present. The customary present makes a statement of general timeless fact. It does not say that something is happening, but that something does happen. The active voice, the believer performs the action of not desiring, not wishing, not wanting to do these things. And the indicative mood, once again, is declarative, seen from the viewpoint of reality. Now, if I keep on doing this very thing that I absolutely do not desire, wish, or want to do, and then Paul says, I consent unto the law that the law, Mosaic law, is good. Except he doesn't say good. Agathos is good. This isn't agathos. We have the present active indicative of sumphemi, plus the dative singular of namas with the definite article, plus the conjunction hati with the nominative singular of kalos. All right, sumphemi. You remember this verb? Sumphemi? If you say yes, you're lying, because this is the hapax legomena. I know, I tricked you. Sumphemi. It's a hapax legomenon. That is, this is the only time this verb is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. So, one, sumphemi means to agree with. To agree with. Two, the Apostle Paul is agreeing with the Mosaic Law. He's agreeing with the Mosaic Law that it is kalos, not agathos, kalos, K-A-L-O-S, kalos. That the Mosaic Law is honorable and noble and praiseworthy and unobjectionable. That's what Paul is saying here. The Apostle Paul is agreeing with the Mosaic Law. It's totally right. Three, when he violates the law, doing the very thing that the Mosaic Law says not to do, when he violates the Mosaic Law, doing the very thing that the Mosaic Law says not to do, he is aware that what he is doing is wrong, it's sinful, it's evil. When he violates the law, doing the very thing that the Mosaic Law says not to do, he is aware that what he is doing is wrong, sinful, and evil. Four. Paul fully agrees that what the law commands on this point is honorable, unobjectionable, and praiseworthy. Paul fully agrees that what the Mosaic Law commands on this point is honorable, unobjectionable, and praiseworthy. Five, Paul knows that the Mosaic Law is from God, and therefore it is perfect. Paul knows there is absolutely nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law. Six, just because at salvation, faith in Christ, we are in a new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ and have a new marriage counselor, God the Holy Spirit, we don't disagree with the Mosaic Law, the old marriage counselor. Just because of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we are in a new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a new marriage counselor, God the Holy Spirit, we don't disagree with the Mosaic Law, the old marriage counselor. Seven, therefore, we don't reject the absolute truth of the Mosaic Law and Codex number one, which defines sin and defines the lust patterns of the sin nature. Therefore, we don't reject the absolute truth of the Mosaic Law and Codex number one, which defines sin and defines the lust patterns of the sin nature. 8. So, when the believer succumbs to the trends of the sin nature, sin, human good, and evil with its lust patterns, he recognizes that the Mosaic Law is honorable in defining what he does not want to do, and that what he is doing is totally wrong, sinful, and evil. So when the believer succumbs to the trends of the sin nature, sin, human good, and evil, and its lust patterns, he recognizes that the Mosaic Law is honorable in defining what he does not want to do, and that what he is doing is totally wrong and sinful and evil. 9. When the believer sins from his own volition, he is doing something incompatible in total rejection of the mandates of the new marriage, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the believer sins from his own volition, he is doing something incompatible with his new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is no longer paristemi. Remember that? Romans 6:13. He's no longer putting himself under the authority and command of his new husband, Jesus Christ. So when the believer sins from his own volition, he is doing something incompatible with his new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is no longer fulfilling Romans 6:13, paristemi, putting himself under the authority and command of his new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. 10. He agrees that the Mosaic Law is honorable and unobjectionable in defining sin, human good, evil, and the lust patterns of the sin nature. He agrees that the Mosaic Law is honorable and unobjectionable in defining sin, human good, and evil, the lust patterns of the sin nature. 11. Therefore, the Mosaic Law is beneficial to the church age believer, even though the Mosaic Law is no longer the marriage counselor of the church age believer. Therefore, the Mosaic Law is beneficial to the church age believer, even though the Mosaic Law is no longer the marriage counselor of the church age believer. So verse 16, now, if I keep on doing this very thing that I absolutely do not desire, wish, or want to do, I agree with the Mosaic Law that it, the Mosaic Law, is honorable, praiseworthy, unobjectionable. All right. Well, Paul is just getting warmed up. Again, Romans 7:15 to 25. He taught this before Galatians. He taught it, defined it, explained it, amplified it. From verse 15 to verse 25, by the time he wrote Galatians, he took the conclusion and gave us Galatians 5:16 and 17. But we are going through and seeing Paul getting warmed up and defining and explaining what he concludes in Galatians 5:16 and 17. All right, we'll take a break. I know some of you thought I was going to go all the way to the hour that I don't know how to tell time. I do. I just wanted to get all the way to verse to point 11. All right, there you go.